most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Sports Fix coming your way shortly. We've also got an interview that Vince Farrar did with Morgan Cox, former Tennessee player, a long snapper for the Ravens. So we're going to bring you that interview as well a little bit later. But it is now time for the Sports Fix at 6, and we're going to be giving away a $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville. New Balance Knoxville carries everything from footwear to apparel to accessories. Now, whether it's running, walking, or simply looking, the wide selection can help you reach your goals. New Balance Knoxville, locally owned and operated since 2000, located at 8027 Kingston Pike. That is near Barnes and Noble. So $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville if you can answer this trivia question. We talked about Jason Witten a little bit earlier with our guest John McClain. Jason Witten is number 4 on the all-time list of NFL receptions. He's number 4 on the all-time list of NFL receptions. Name the 3 NFL players ranked ahead of Jason Witten. Jason Witten is number 3 all-time in receptions in the NFL. Name the 3 NFL players that have caught more passes in their career than Jason Witten. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're on the Sports Fix. Danny, are you with us? Don't hear Danny. Okay, let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. Let's go with Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, and, oh, wow.
Good start.
I'm going to go with Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, nice job. Wow, one and done. Yep, that's
wow.
It. Those are the 3, Matt. Good job. And in that order, Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, Tony Gonzalez are the 3 NFL players that have more receptions than Jason Witten. Rice is a wide receiver. Fitzgerald a wide receiver, still active. Tony Gonzalez, a tight end. Gonzalez is the only tight end who's ever caught more passes in the NFL in his career than Jason Witten. Hey, Matt, congratulations to you. You have won a $25 gift card to New Balance Knoxville. Great job. We're going to put you on hold and get that gift card to you, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. And that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Vince, I thought we would be here a little longer than that.
Jimmy, it sounds like our listeners know tight ends. Right? Yes. We had a tight end question that was one and done yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Michael Rivera. It was the last tight end drafted, yeah.
How about that?
So we'll have another tight end question tomorrow.
I was going to say.
Maybe. You never know.
Do your tight end research tonight if you're not as as up on them as everybody
exactly
else.
Right. So. Hey, we're going to hear from Morgan Cox when we come back. Vince, give us a little bit of a preview of that.
Yeah, Morgan Cox was outstanding in my visit with him yesterday, and we talked about what life is like in an NFL camp right now. He even took me through his daily routine of what it's like from getting up through the day and what is required of him, talked about the measures, health and safety measures of COVID inside the Ravens organization. Asked him about Nigel Warrior at the end. Obviously, we look back on last year, and he gave some insight on Lamar Jackson, and just a really cool visit with Morgan Cox. So I got a chance to interview a couple of years ago when the Ravens played in Nashville. I was there, and interviewed him in the post game, and he's always been very nice and taking our requests. So really fun visit, and looking forward to everybody hearing that when we come back.
That's up when we do come back. We will remind you that we're at the Food City in Von Ohr. You've only got about 50 minutes or so to get qualified for the big ticket. We're giving that the grand prize is going to be tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow we're going to be at the Food City in Fountain City. So, but you can get qualified today, and you can win a fantastic prize, season tickets to those five Tennessee sports that we mentioned, as well as the Ice Bears and the Titans. So make sure you go by, get the keyword, text that word to 68683, and then you could be in the running for the big ticket. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Vince Ferrar coming to you from the Food City in Von Ohr. Your chance to get qualified for the big ticket. Also, don't forget, they've got body armor there. Body armor products using the Food City value card can get you in it for a chance to win a body armor Blaney golf cart. That is going to be given away September the 18th at Food City. And you want to make sure that you get qualified for that as well. And shop at Food City. Great steaks that they have there, the certified Angus beef steaks, the seafood, perfect for grilling. They've got tremendous food at Food City. Vince, we talked about you visiting with Morgan Cox.
That's right, going into his 11th season in the National Football League. He is as good as it gets in the league, and really loves being a part of that Ravens organization. Here is my conversation yesterday with the veteran VFL, Morgan Cox. Morgan, Vince here in Knoxville. How you doing?
Doing great, Vince. Great to be on.
Man, appreciate your time. And so explain, with all of this that's going on, how different is the feel in camp right now compared to a normal year?
It's definitely different, especially in this strength and conditioning phase. It feels off-season training, kind of different schedules with the rookies and everything. But then we're going to be ramping up practices here pretty soon. So, you know, it's going well. We're excited to get to football. It's a little bit different, but, you know, we're kind of rolling with the punches and still working hard no matter what.
So if you could visualize for our fans what health and safety measures look like in camp right now for an NFL player, just what are some of those individual things that are different besides obviously a mask?
I can kind of give you my daily routine if that's would suffice. I sure. Usually wake up, I have to take a home questionnaire, basically asking like what my conditions are, if I have any cough or headache or anything like that, and fill this whole thing out, take my temperature twice, and then once I fill that out, I basically go into the facility. Upon arriving to the facility, at the security gate, they take our temperature. And then, you know, obviously if we're, you know, not feverish, then they allow us in the facility. Then during this initial testing phase, we go straight over to this like drive-through testing where we get our temperature taken again. And then they swab our nose, put that packaged up, and then sent off for testing. And I believe it comes back within, I want to say like 18 hours or something like that. It's pretty, they've got a pretty good system where it comes back pretty quickly. Park, put my mask on, walk up to the door into our players' side where they've actually kind of fashioned an extension off of our facility where we can eat lunch just to be able to spread people out more. But anyway, so I walk through there, go in and get my contact tracing device. Basically, I wear this like lanyard around me that has a little device that blinks if I'm within 6 feet of someone else. It doesn't necessarily like bark at me, but, you know, it just lets us know that like, hey, you know, you're inside someone's space. But anyway, after that, I mean, you just have to wear your mask around the facility at all times. Playing, you know, practicing and everything. So they have little tables for us to set out. And then to kind of give you a picture of what the cafeteria looks like. It used to be, you know, community tables, guys could all sit together, and now it's all individual tables. Literally just one person sits at a table, and 6 feet away there's another table, and then 6 feet away from that there's another table. So I mean, it's totally different being in the facility right now, but man, I've been so impressed with the lengths that they've gone to kind of protect us and make us feel safe. And, you know, there's been a lot of accountability in the facility as well. Guys saying, hey, you know, you need your mask on or something like that. So
with all those measures you talked about, there seems to be still skepticism from the outside, fans, media, whatever, that the season, once you start in the games and travel and guys colliding, things like that, that this season can be finished. What gives you that confidence besides just hope and desire to play? What gives you the confidence that this will work for the NFL?
I mean, hope and desire is obviously it plays a huge part, but really honestly, looking at the measures they've taken thus far, you know, to have us in the facility and everything, I don't think they're going to go and slack off on, you know, travel or anything like that. As I understand it, we're going to be able to pick up our meals, you know, eat in our hotel rooms. We'll probably have the exact same kind of measures in the hotels that we're staying in. I know we always travel first class. Mr. Bisciotti always puts us up really well, flies us in really nice planes, and I don't see him sparing any expense on that either. So he's if I've learned anything in my 10 years here, you know, they spare no expense in taking care of us. So that's what is, you know, and our perspective on how we're treating it. But from what I hear, you know, all these other teams around the league are treating it the same way. And guys want to play. We have incentive to play and incentive to, you know, to finish out the season. So there's accountability there built in where guys don't want to go out and are scared of testing positive, basically. So
talking with Baltimore Ravens long snapper and VFL Morgan Cox here on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. I'm Vince Ferrara. So, Morgan, let's look back on last year. What was it like to be a part of that kind of unbelievable run through the regular season?
I mean, it honestly was probably one of the most fun years I've had in football. It started off kind of rocky. You know, we went 2-2, and then we went on just a tear through the NFL, winning some games we weren't expected to. Traveling to the West Coast comes to mind, and playing Seattle and winning that game in the rain, beating the 49ers at home on a game winner, just being able to be a part of that for myself was really cool. We've been a part of a lot of game winners over the years, but just the electricity in the room, in the locker room, Lamar is a leader, you know, the defense playing their tails off whenever Lamar dropped off the which he didn't do very often, but the defense would step it up, that kind of thing. It was just a really fun, great locker room to be a part of. And I'm really excited because this year, you know, we've lost some pieces, but largely we've got a similar locker room coming back.
What about the playoff game? I know Lamar had some comments about it, maybe overlooking them a little bit, the Tennessee Titans. How do you summarize that disappointment for you guys in that playoff game after what you did in the regular season?
Yeah, in the league, it's any given Sunday, as we like to say. I mean, the Titans, to their credit, got hot at the right time, and you know, I felt like we were hot as well, and it just it wasn't our day. Is again get the best way I can put it. It was their day. Derrick Henry looked like a freight train that wasn't going to be stopped. And honestly, it was tough having gone through that season and just playing like we did during the season, and then coming through that playoff game. It was definitely a big letdown. But you know, we. Back in 2011, we had a big letdown in the AFC Championship. We came back stronger, won the Super Bowl the next year. So, you know, I have high hopes for this year because, like I said before, we have mostly the same team coming back and definitely a grit in our teeth to get back to the top.
VFL Morgan Cox of the Ravens joins us here on Sports Talk. You mentioned Lamar Jackson's leadership. It's obvious his skill set and his talents. Give us a little behind the scenes on maybe how he gets after it with that leadership or work ethic, something else that maybe most people don't get a chance to see in part of what makes him so special.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say that no one sees it, but the first thing that comes to mind for me is just the fun that he has. I mean, I've heard it said that he really loves ball, and that really comes out when he's, you know, on the field with a helmet on, or, you know, just out there having fun with the teammates and stuff like that. So he's a competitor, man. He wants to be on the field. He wants the ball in his hands, and it's guys like that are just infectious. You know, he's got the energy. I don't know if you or listeners have seen the clip of where he came off the sideline, and I think we were on the field about to kick a field goal, and Coach Harbaugh asked him, "You want to go for it?" And he said, "Hell yeah, Coach, I want to go for it." And then he starts, you know, pumping everybody else up around him, like, "Let's go for it." And then he goes and scores a touchdown. You know, it's hard not to get behind a guy like that, and it's cool to have a head coach that's willing to take those chances. I mean, as I understand it, I mean, we went for fourth down more than anybody else, I think, in the league. And so to put your faith in your players, it says a lot about the head coach and the system that we were running.
You're unselfish. You'll give up a few snaps if he's going to do that on fourth down, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we always would rather kick an extra point than a field goal, but, you know, it's fun to watch.
We're visiting with VFL Morgan Cox of the Ravens, and I wonder, Morgan, how much you've been paying attention to all this college football news on whether there's going to be a season or not, the players coming out and saying they want to play. What do you make of the discussion of maybe not having a college football season?
I mean, that's going to be tough. I mean, I know for me, just being from Tennessee and playing at Tennessee, I mean, the reason I got a chance to play where I am is because of Tennessee, and, you know, mostly because of my senior year. And so, you know, I hate it for the guys that could potentially miss out on that, because it's such an important time in their lives to be able to let, you know, if they're not going to make it in the NFL, that, you know, it's memories that are going to be lost, not being able to play football. You know, some guys, most guys, honestly, it's unfortunately, it's their, it could be their last season or last couple seasons, and to miss out on it is really tough. You know, I really would love to see him play. I think they're, you know, seeing what we're going through, you know, it does take the accountability of the players to hold each other accountable, I guess, to say, and stay out of bad situations where, you know, you could get infected and infect others and stuff like that. And so from what I see online, guys seem like they're excited about playing and would be willing to, you know, hold each other accountable to be able to finish out the season. But I know I'm rooting for it, because I want to see that orange tee every weekend.
No doubt. You've been in the league now in the double digits in your career. How much longer do you feel like this is something you want to do? I know some guys say, hey, I want to get out healthy. Others, as long as they're effective and they can still play at a high level, they want to continue. Has that crossed your mind at all?
It really hasn't crossed my mind. And I mean, other than people trying to remind me a little too often how old I am, but no, I'm kidding. I really feel good. You know, I've had two knee surgeries. I've gone through it injury wise in the league, and honestly, my knees have never felt better. I got to go cycling with some friends this off season. I think that really helped my knee health, and we had a great off season program where we did a lot of movements that we didn't have the opportunity to put to put a whole bunch of stress on our body. We did a lot of like in-home band workouts, and I really think that was great. But I got a lot of different functional movement. The quarantine, as I understand it, every bike is sold out of every city, or every bike shop of every city. And that just happened to be my hobby while I was during quarantine, is going cycling with some friends. And so I feel really good. And as you did kind of touch on it, as long as I'm effective for my guys, then I want to keep playing. But I love this organization. I love football, and I love doing what I do. So I'm going to do as long as I can.
Last thing with you, really appreciate your time. I'll let you go. You mentioned you love in the organization. Describe just how special that organization has been and treated you in your time in the National Football League.
I mean, without a doubt, I touched on it earlier, Mr. Bisciotti does not spare any expense on us and just the way he treats his guys, much like University of Tennessee. I mean, you can, as soon as you walk in those doors, you can tell it's first class from top to bottom. And so, you know, top to bottom here, it's been amazing. You know, the president of the organization, I mean, they're involved in the city. The coach Harbaugh has been here for, this is my 11th, so it's his 13th year. So, you know, it's just been awesome. It's a great environment. You talk about culture. It's a winning culture, which, surprisingly is around the league is not as common as you might think. And so, I just feel blessed to be here. I mean, without a doubt, they've changed my life, my life and a lot of other people, directly, involved with me. So, I mean, I have nothing but love for this organization and they've just been awesome over the years. Feel the same way about Tennessee too. So
have you gotten a chance to talk to Nigel at all?
Yeah, we have a little bit. We talked a little bit, actually yesterday, just kind of talking about, our times there and stuff and how much we both enjoyed it. He's doing great here. The organization loves him and, I hope he'll be able to stick with us through the season because he's a phenomenal talent.
Hey, Morgan, stay healthy and safe. Really, really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. All the best.
Sounds good. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate it.
And that's our conversation with Morgan Cox. Really good stuff. And, you know, he's a model of consistency. I don't think he ever has even any competition in camp for his position because he's just a rock and they know he's going to be right there and consistent. Love his insight on Lamar Jackson and, and all the protocols and everything they're doing within those walls. You don't get a chance to hear a lot of the specifics like he shared with us. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, really good. Enjoyed that, and he's a great interview, a great person, and we've had a chance to visit with him as well, and just really enjoyed hearing. And his daily routine was interesting as well. So good stuff from Morgan Cox. All right, we're still at the Food City and Von Ohr, at least Vince is, and you still have a few minutes to go by there and try to get qualified for the big ticket. We're going to have our grand prize drawing tomorrow in about the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also have some qualifying tomorrow as well. We're going to be at the Food City in Fountain City, and there'll be other shows that'll be at Food Cities as well. But you can take advantage of that. And then you can also buy any Body Armor product using your Food City value card and be entered for a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart. That'll be given away September the 18th. When we come back, we've got a comment from Kirk Ferentz about transfers. We've also got Baylor. We know exactly what they're going to do as far as their ticket distribution for college football this season. Don't know about Tennessee's yet, but maybe it'll be a guiding point. We'll talk about that and more when we come back as we come to you again from the Food City in Von Ohr. Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
45 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Sports Talk coming to you from the Food City in Von Ohr. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. We've discussed a little bit earlier about the possibility of players transferring, entering the transfer portal. I'm told there are already a number of players that have already entered the transfer portal. What did Kirk Ferentz at Iowa have to say about that?
Really interesting. He said, quote, "Everybody in our conference has to be concerned about our rosters getting raided. People enticing players maybe to leave and come play at their institutions. I think it's imperative that the NCAA take action, strong, definitive action." So we'll see. I don't know how often you get that from the NCAA. Maybe these are different circumstances. I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for that. I would imagine there'd be a whole lot of confusion prior to them making a decision, because that would be the way they do things. But clearly this is on the mind of these coaches at these conferences that, hey, people are going to try to get them to leave to go to their school.
You think the NCAA would discourage it, though, by being reluctant to grant waivers?
Yeah, I would see that scenario more so than them coming out and making a big ruling on it. Is just not granting waivers and then eventually getting around to saying, we're not going to allow this because of all the uncertainty, and we don't know if there are going to be games or not. Not that they've been all that involved in all this anyway. But yeah, I would guess it'd be more confusion and then no one getting the waiver more so than any sort of strong stance on it to prevent it. But I don't think they're going to allow these transfers openly and freely. I would be surprised by that.
I also wonder if there's a situation where a team has 16 seniors, they don't play, and 14 of those seniors want to come back. What do you do with the incoming freshmen?
Well, absolutely, Jimmy, and that's part of some of the things that James Franklin was worried about. It's like, we don't have answers to all these. So what do you do with the rosters for the schools that don't end up playing and you're granting waivers to, while others do? Do you have a different roster total for some than others? And it's just so many questions about how all this is going to work. It's a mess, but I guess a lot of things are in 2020.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if this is a precursor to what Tennessee might do, but here's what they're going to do at Baylor. Baylor is going to allow in football 25% capacity. They are going to have a priority seating, and what they're going to do is it's going to be priority single game tickets sold to season ticket holders. Now, they're not going to honor the season ticket holder. They're going to do it on a priority basis for single game tickets. And what they're going to do is they're going to it's the first Monday. It's going to be August the 24th. And it's based on a priority ranking. That's going to determine the order for your ticket selection. And let's say you're first out of the box, you get 6 tickets maximum per game. And that's going to be in the general student bowl. They might increase the capacity. That could be determined by health officials as the season goes on. And at the 25% capacity, that does not count like the premium seating of the suites or the loges. Those seats, those don't count in terms of this. So that is, well, let me just say this. The suites and the loge seating is not subject to priority single game ticket selection. The suites and loge seating not subject to priority single game ticket selection. And then in the club seating area, you get a maximum of 4 that will be there. So that's what they're going to do. They're also going to have mobile ticketing and mobile parking. That's how they're going to handle that. Does that mean Tennessee might go in that direction? I don't know. Completely. Now, as far as I'm talking about the whole package, Tennessee is going to have, I believe, the mobile tickets and the mobile parking. I think that's one of the things you're looking at, right? Didn't that come out of a conference call recently with the UT?
Definitely the mobile ticketing. I don't recall on the parking, but that could very well be the case, too.
All right. So that's what they're looking at Baylor. Now, we'll see if others come out. I don't know if Tennessee has made a decision. This is somewhat in line with what I have heard Tennessee was looking at doing. And we will find out, I guess, in due time what they're going to elect to try to do. But that's what Baylor's going to do. That's what I think probably a lot of teams in the Big 12 are looking at doing. And it probably isn't going to be too far with what the University of Tennessee is looking at doing either.
Yeah, so Jimmy, in line with that, I'm sorry, in the Big 12, Brett McMurphy had shared earlier that Oklahoma was projecting that it would reduce its capacity to at home games to about 25%. So didn't see a plan with that, like as detailed as what you shared with Baylor, but sounds like that number is very similar. And then, you know, the Big 12 seems like each school is doing their own thing in terms of deciding capacity. I wonder if that might be different in the SEC, especially in the ACC, or whether they'll have some sort of conference-wide at least percentage of your normal capacity.
Well, and here was the thing, too. When we visited with Chip Towers, he said that that it was going to be 20% and it was going to be the same across the board in the SEC. I don't know where he got that. It's the first time I had heard that. I didn't know that Tennessee has decided on 20% or that the league has decided it for them. But I was not aware of that. It's not too far from the numbers I had heard. Now, when we interviewed Philip Fulmer a little while back, he said that they were looking at 20% to 50%, 50% being on the optimistic side. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what he was looking at. And the numbers I have heard most consistently from the sources I've talked to regarding Tennessee and the season tickets, 20 to 33% capacity. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and Jimmy, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And they have already talked to ushers and asked the ushers if there is a season and if there are fans, will you be willing to work games at Neyland Stadium? So I know that call has been made to some ushers.
Yeah, I mean, and they're, you know, a lot of them are older, so they're going to be a higher risk, and you're probably going to have to fill some spots, even if you don't have anywhere close to maximum capacity, just a quarter. But that those numbers, I know people are like, why are they going to mandate across the league? I think those are just maximum, right? Because every area is going to have different circumstances. So I think that's what would be the cap. And then if the area doesn't allow for fans at all, or you have to do an even smaller percentage, then you do that. But it would just be a cap if there's any sort of league-wide you know, consistency throughout the league, don't you think?
Yes. Yep. So,
and then the Saints have also said, Jimmy, in terms of fans, that they will not have fans for their home opener. And that's the only one. The Saints put that out on their Twitter account today. So that's the only game that they've committed to one way or another. So no fans for the Saints home opener. And it's one of the loudest venues in the NFL and in sports when it's packed, and it'll be much different for the home opener.
And they're playing Tampa Bay and Tom Brady in that game.
How about that?
Do people dressed as Saints count as fans?
People dressed as Saints?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the fans the way they dress.
Oh, yeah.
At those games, you know, they with these Saint outfits and all that kind of stuff. Nuns and all that, just wonder if they'll be able to sneak in there.
Get a little VIP treatment.
Yeah, there you go. Come on in. This is Tom Martin. John Solomon, who used to work for the Birmingham News, really good reporter. He quotes Tom Marr. And I don't know if this is the Tom Marr that had worked with the NCAA or not. But anyway, this Tom Marr says, conferences that play fall football will take a ridiculously high risk that they may regret. I know and have talked with some of the best plaintiff lawyers in the country this week, and they're praying the SEC, the Big 12, and or the ACC are greedy enough to stay the course. Close quote. Wow.
So,
yeah, I think that's pretty interesting to see if to see that that particular quote. Well, who knows? I hope he's wrong. I hope we have football, and I hope the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 play. I did see a number that there are 53 FBS teams that are out so far. There are about 130 teams in the FBS, so 53 of them at this point are out, as far as what I just read on Twitter.
And Jimmy, we were talking about the NCAA, whether they would take quick action. I'm not sure if the transfers are included in this, but apparently they have put out some emergency legislation. So we'll check that out over the break and see if anything jumps out.
All right. That's Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. Vince is at the Food City Remote. That is in Von Ohr. You have just a few more minutes now to try to get in as a potential qualifier for the big ticket. Season tickets to Tennessee, 5 University of Tennessee sports, as well as the Titans and the Ice Bears. And what you have to do is go by there, get the keyword, and then text it to 68683. And that will put you in a position to be a big ticket qualifier. The grand prize we're going to give away tomorrow at the Food City at Fountain City. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Hines, Sports Talk 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting,
here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines with Vince Ferrar. Vince is at the Food City and Von Ohr, and you know what that means. That's your place to go by and try to get registered for the big ticket or qualify. Don't have much time, but you still can try to get by there and do it. And we do want to thank Food City for being a sponsor. They've been fantastic. Not only that, they have fantastic food. Check out the certified Angus beef steak. Their seafood selection's wonderful. It's perfect for grilling. They also have no-contact shopping. And you need to check out the Food City Bakery. It is fantastic. Also, our thanks to Body Armor, one of our sponsors as well. And you can use your Food City Value card and be entered for a chance to win a Body Armor Blaney golf cart that's going to be given away in mid-September. All right, a couple of other notes out there. As far as tennis is concerned, Serena and Venus Williams both won their first-round matches in the top seed tournament, and that means they will be playing each other in the round of 16 that they'll be facing off for the 31st time. How about that? The 31st time, and this is being played outside of Lexington, Kentucky. As far as Justin Thomas, he's the number one seed in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Congratulations to him for that. And it was kind of interesting. We were talking to our co-host with Golf Talk last Monday, Braxton Hunter, who was saying he was hoping he would do something good enough to be our golfer of the week. Well, he might have. Braxton Hunter is qualified now for the national PGA tournament that's going to be played in Port Lucie, Florida. Braxton shot 67, 66, then a 73. That's a 7-under total. He finished second to Johan Koch of Nashville. And then Andrew Bateman, Cherokee Country Club, tied for fourth. The top four advance. I don't know about the playoff situation, so I don't know if Bateman is going. They have four qualifiers and then four alternates. And one of the alternates is going to be Jake Reeves. He's a Fox Den Country Club. He lives in Knoxville, of course. And then Walt Chapman at Fairways and Greens, he is tied for eighth, which puts him in position to be another alternate. I don't know if there's a playoff for that alternate spot or not. But anyway, great results from local players in the Tennessee PGA Professional Championship. So good for them, and we certainly look forward to celebrating that with Braxton when he joins us for Golf Talk. This was played at the Legends Club in Vanderbilt. All right, we've got Bill Hancock, Executive Director of College Football Playoff. He said he is still hopeful for a four-team playoff. He also said they will continue to be flexible in terms of proceeding with this situation. Obviously, they've got to be pretty flexible, but we'll see what happens with that. Vince, I'm not overly optimistic we're going to have a season, nor am I overly optimistic we're going to have a college football playoff. I hope that we do, but I'm just not sure that I feel real confident about that right now.
No, I agree with you. And let me pose this question that I've seen posed is, what if half of the FBS plays and all the lower divisions play in the spring? And what if, and including two Power Fives, and what if three end up somehow making it through in the fall? What do you do? When's the playoff? Is the playoff stay in the fall where it normally is? How do you handle in terms of a national champion? What do you think?
I think if three of the Power Five play, that championship is going to be played in this fall. I think that's what they're going to do.
And, Jimmy, let me mention real quick on the NCAA, their emergency legislation. D1 Council recommended it still needs final approval, to provide fall sports student-athletes who compete and then opt out of future participation or have a season cut short due to COVID to have, A, an extension of their five-year period of eligibility, and, two, an additional season of competition if they participate in 50% or less of the maximum number of competition allowed in each sport by D1 rules. So that's what the NCAA – there's more, you know, for student-athletes beyond that, but that was – one of the more noteworthy things that I saw from that emergency legislation today.
Good stuff. Interesting to see the direction that they're going there. All right, they're going to be playing more NBA basketball in the bubble. And I wanted to mention this. I thought this stat was interesting. So Anthony Davis with the Lakers, he doesn't play all the time, and I understand they're giving him rest and so forth. But when the Lakers have won in the bubble, Davis has averaged 38 points. When they have lost, he's averaged 12. Quite a difference in that. But more basketball night. Vince, you said you've been watching a lot of the NBA during the course of the playing down in Orlando, correct?
I have. I really enjoyed it. They've done a really good job with the broadcast and not having positive cases. Speaking of that, I want to say when people talk about the success of the bubble in sports, don't forget about MLS. They just completed their MLS's back tournament, crowned a champion in Portland yesterday. Zero positive tests in the last 5 weeks of that tournament.
Wow. Vince, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, everyone who came by as well.
That's Vince Ferrara at the Food City in Von Ohr. Thank you for listening as well. This has been Sports Talk.